thinking about self-publishing and don't know where to start? Join the Spa Girls each week for 30 minutes of honest advice, tips, and resources. And we are here today. Wendy and Cheryl are together in person with each other.
I noticed that we weren't invited today.
Oh, yeah. Sounds so good.
I'm feeling a bit of a click going on here. Yes, that we're part of.
Two of the Spa Girls have separated off from the pack. And
yeah. We may have
to go and egg Cheryl's house, Sharon.
I think we might have to.
I know where you live. Don't you think you can get away with this? Anyway, it's episode. Yeah. Well, I know where you live too, Wendy. Don't you worry about that. Episode number 34 of the Spa Girls podcast. And today we're going to talk about reviews, what they are, how to get them, how not to get them, the best things that you can try, and what we've done and what we've tried to get reviews. So
the ugly.
Yes, exactly.
So basically, yeah, I like that.
So we're talking mainly about reviews on Amazon because it's fairly accepted that getting a decent number of reviews on Amazon helps with the Amazon algorithms, although there is actually no definite proof of this because Amazon will never confirm nor deny, but it helps when other people are looking at your books. I personally have not picked up a book because I've seen bad reviews on it. And it also helps when you're getting things like BookBub ads. BookBub will look at reviews to see whether they'll pick you up sometimes.
It's part of their decision. Not just BookBub, some of the other advertising lists too require a certain number as well. Yeah. I guess it's that social proof thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and that's the whole thing. I remember when I first started, it was like, you need reviews to get people reading it, but how do you get reviews because you haven't got people reading it yet? So it's that whole kind of, and I mean, remember we all first started and we were trying to review each other's books, and Amazon somehow picked up that we knew each other, and it would reject any review that I put on Wendy, Cheryl or Sharon's books. So
don't review your friends and don't review your family, unfortunately, because it will just get taken down and you won't be able to post it, so it's kind of a waste of time. So
it's not worth fighting it or being frustrated about it because you can't win.
No, it just is what it is. And I get it. They're trying to preserve the legitimacy, even though some, And I think, too, I'd also put a caution in here. There are some services that basically you can buy reviews, particularly on like Fiverr and those sort of places. Don't do it. Don't bother. It's not a good look. Or worse, don't buy negative reviews for your competitors. I've seen that happen as well.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. Look, you know what? The karma fairy is going to come along and bite you on the ass. So don't do it. It's just, you know, it's like most things. Do it organically and legitimately, and they will stick better than trying to take a shortcut.
Yeah. Although you don't have to necessarily sit back and wait for people to review you. I mean, there are ways.
Not at all. You can be proactive.
Yeah. It's not all just organic traffic. Like, so for example, so it's part of the whole, like last week we did newsletters. Was it last week? One of the weeks just recently. And I mean, once you've built up a newsletter, you can send an email out to your newsletter peeps and say, hey, you know, I would really appreciate it if you did a review on my book. It needs a few extra. It would really help me, blah, blah, blah. And you get them.
We're afraid to do that. And I know as Kiwis, we're not people that actually ask. And so I really struggle with that.
Despite what we sound like, we're actually quite shy creatures. We're nocturnal birds of the night.
Little brown hairy things that scavenge around the ground.
We live on the forest floor.
On beaks.
No, those are actual Kiwis. None of you has a beak. None of you scavenge on the forest floor.
To clarify, the Kiwis we're talking about are Kiwi birds, not Kiwi fruit.
Anyway.
Yeah. Moving along.
Back on track.
So what we wanted to...
No, I was just going to say, when you are sending out copies to your readers, when you are promoting your work, you can actually offer free copies for a review.
Mm. So that's perfectly legitimate. That's called an advanced reader copy. You can give it out to people and say, in return for reading this book. And I've got reviews on my thing that say, you know, I was given a copy of this book in return for an honest review. And I don't even mind getting a bad review from that kind of thing. As long as it's an honest review, I would rather make it really clear that the reviews you're getting are what people genuinely think. Because if someone looks at your reviews and thinks that you're making them up, or that you've paid for them or something, then that's almost as bad as having a whole bunch of negative reviews.
I just think, you know, there's a couple of schools of thought with reviews, and sometimes, you know, I don't like reading my reviews. I get other people to read them because they upset me if they're bad, and I'm pretty soft. So rather than not have anything to do with my reviews, I'll get someone like Shah to read them. And the reason I do that is because if there is a fault in a book, if I've got a plot point wrong or if there's an editing issue, I want to know about it. And a review, consistently, I'll get three or four reviews saying the same thing, then I know I've got an issue that needs to be dealt with. So reviews are something that you sure don't read, but don't ignore completely. Get someone else to read them. If you find that there's a trend, then you know there's a problem. On the other side of it is, sometimes a review really has nothing to do with a book, insofar as the reader might dislike you, they might be there for a competitor who they love. You know, there's so many things. Someone's having a bad day, or they're just really not a nice person, and they'll slam you.
So you're talking about negative reviews.
Negative reviews. Yeah. So actually, yeah, I'm on the negative review side. So what I'm saying to you is, you know, if you don't like reviews, get someone else to read them, but don't avoid them, because often, as I say, there is a thread.
I think with your ones, Wendy, you've had several BookBub ads as well, and that goes out to a really, really wide audience of people. And what you can find is when you're getting, and if you've got a free book, this is also kind of quite relevant, you'll get lots of people, and maybe there'll be people who come into it who aren't necessarily your target audience, or the ones that are going to love your books. Like, maybe they're like, so for you, you write quite a modern style of writing when you're writing your historicals, and there are some people who are real sticklers for having the old fashioned kind of language and stuff, and they might come along to your book and go, oh, well, that's not the right thing. But actually, you've got a really strong, solid base of audience who love exactly the way you do it. And I'm like that. I would much prefer the kind of more modern language, even if it is still that kind of, you know, genre, but then the kind of more sticklery kind of more historical kind of stuff. So
made them want to pick up a bucket and puke, so, you know,
That's pretty awful. Why would you even say that?
Yeah, I mean, my first train of thought was to find out where they lived and go around and beat them up. But at the same time,
don't do that.
It's not, or fight back online.
Don't,
you know,
don't engage.
Just let it go. People are entitled.
If work, or if they're writers or anything like that, honestly, walk away.
And you are talking from the point of view of somebody who has got a truckload of reviews. Over all your books, you've got to think percentage-wise, you're going to get some people.
Absolutely.
Like Trudy said, especially when you're putting up free books, you're going to get all sorts of people that you know, are going to comment perhaps not as you'd want, because it's not really what they want to read. And,
and you won't just get comments about that. You'll also get comments about the actual Amazon or the retailer service as well. So it might not actually be reviewing your book. It might be, this didn't come through on my Kindle in time. There'll be a technical issue like that. My advice to authors is never respond to reviews. Never, 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 never.
Even a good one, Shah?
No. I absolutely wouldn't. Do not engage. I don't think it's the author space. It's actually a customer space, the review section, and I don't think authors should be in there at all. Mm-hmm. I've seen it backfire. Even responding to a positive review, if I was the reviewer, I would feel kind of creeped out that the author is responding to me. It feels too, I don't know, stalkery or something. I don't like it. I know a couple of authors, Al Casey, who's a very, very successful indie author, has done that, but they're few and far between, and she manages it very well. In terms of any technical support issues, again, I've seen a couple of people respond to those ones, just saying, please contact Amazon and this will be rectified. I don't know about that. I would be more inclined to actually ask a friend to actually reply to that person's review and comment rather than the author themselves. Do not try and review your own books. This is the sort of the don'ts, I would say. Do not try and review your own books. Do not
Would that ever work? I can't imagine Amazon would ever allow
But you know, you'd be surprised how many people try and create secondary Amazon accounts to do that. Do not respond. I agree. And you know, just a blanket, do not respond to reviews. And please, I've seen it happen this week, and it went very badly again for an author. Please do not ask your followers to go and downvote negative reviews.
That's just hateful, isn't it?
It may. Oh, negative. On Goodreads or on Amazon. Please don't do that. You know, look, reviews are just part of doing business. It's you take the good and you take the bad and you put your big girl panties on and you just deal with it. Yeah, Wendy is absolutely right. When she knows what she can kind of deal with herself to keep her kind of creative space sacred, if you like, getting a bit woo-woo here, by getting other people to, like, people that she trusts around her to kind of monitor them. And that's a really safe way of doing it. But, you know, again, it's, you know, yes, reviews are important, and I totally get the frustration when you're starting off and you can't get any. But like I said before, I think there's ways to ask without becoming, breaching the
Let's talk about some of the ways to get reviews. So some of the ways that we've all managed to. So one thing I personally did, I signed up to NetGalley. And I don't know, I'm not going to do that again this year. I signed up for a year and I had a book. You can change it however often you want and do a launch thing around it. I don't think I used it properly. Because I think it's often for a book where you need to have a whole launch process and you need to, say, give it to people before it's actually out there and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't do any of that.
Can I just explain maybe what NetGalley is?
Ah, yes, sorry. It's a review. So it's used in traditional publishing a lot. There's a lot of traditional publishing kind of review. So it's for reviewers. It's for people within libraries. It's for media people. It's just anyone. So you get an account there, and then publishers and self-publishers can put books up on this in NetGalley, and then you can apply to read one of the books. So you're not necessarily accepted, just a couple of times you apply, and the person who is in charge of that book will either approve or decline your request to read that book. So I pretty much just always, you know, accepted. I had, you know, 50 or so people request to read each of the books that I had up there. I mean, it seemed a decent amount to me, but I'm sure the big name books get way more than that, obviously. And it's all kind of, it's like the big name bloggers or the big name reviewers for media outlets and things like that. So there's people on there that are kind of going to have the potential to broadcast your book to a wider audience, but it's, I don't know, I think you have to do it in a certain way, and I maybe just didn't do it in the right way. I don't know.
I think it depends on genre as well, in terms of, you know, so just to clarify too, it is a paid service, and it's quite an expensive paid service at that. So, and I have noted amongst in the author sphere that there's a feeling that NetGalley itself is a little too lenient in terms of who it will let people sign up to be potential reviewers. In terms they're a blogger, they're not checked out, that they've actually got a following, kind of thing. You know,
I've signed up.
Book Blast, and they put my book on there. So some sites like that will do it for you.
Yeah, so you can buy monthly slots and stuff. Yeah. Like, so there's other ways to do it. Like, I paid $300 something US for a year, which actually I don't think is that terrible if you break it down per month. And I mean, maybe people think that's expensive, but, and I mean, I'm not doing it again because I don't think I got enough out of it, but, and I'm not saying it's not necessarily worth it, but I just think you maybe want to look into it and try and, so that is one way to potentially get reviews. Another way is that you can, there's certain services, but also you can do it yourself, is to look around on Amazon and see people who are regularly reviewing books that are similar to your books, and to approach them and say, hey, look, I've got this book, and I can give you a free copy in return for a review. And you can get people, and but you don't, there's no guarantee they're going to give you a positive review. There's nothing like that. It's just people that you know who regularly review, who are out there, who happen to review books that are similar to yours. You can try and approach them and see what they say. And that's another potential. It's just, it's not a very, like, you can approach 1,000 people and maybe get 10 of them.
And when you say approach them, Trudy, you mean by emailing them if they have their email address publicly listed? Some other reviewers do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do like.
I think also getting that ARC, that advanced reader copy, a group up for your new releases is a great way. You know, like you give them a copy with the proviso, they'll do a review, and that's by the sort of second, third, fourth book, you've got a fairly solid group of people who are going to like your work and who are going to review, and who. So if you can sort of build that up and get, you know, a good solid base of people, then I think you'll find you can get some reviews, and they'll go up on the first day usually, because the advanced reader copies have gone out sort of a week before or a couple of weeks before. So that's another way to get those reviews going. You know,
it's an important point actually for Amazon, and until the book is actually live, in other words, it can be published, then you can't post a review, so you can't get reviews on a digital product pre-order, can you? You can on print, I think.
I don't think so. I don't know. So with Goodreads now being owned by Amazon, do the reviews from Amazon automatically come over to Goodreads?
No, they don't.
Separate.
No, they are separate.
Yeah.
It's not to say that the person couldn't post it on both platforms.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Themselves.
Yeah. Goodreads is a whole other beast in itself.
So Goodreads is now owned by Amazon. It never used to be. It's a reader platform, so it's there for the readers. Authors are kind of put up with, and tolerated, but you don't go being pushy in Goodreads, because you'll probably get a bit of backlash on it. But as an author, I know loads of authors who have a really good, who really love Goodreads and are in there reading and integrating with people and are able to use it in a positive way. And it is a way to get kind of people, get in contact. And again, it's that whole thing we were talking about, like making friends with people who may potentially be able to do review copies, making contact with people who might be able to read art copies of your book. But don't ever go in there, start demanding stuff, start being obnoxious. It's that whole thing
of carefully.
Yeah, you've got to build a relationship.
It's a viper's nest and it's time. You've got to. It's a reader based thing, isn't it?
You can understand. They're very protective of it, and why not?
If you go in and start stomping your feet as an author and making waves, then you're asking for trouble.
You really are. And the Goodreads author you had, the Goodreads community.
It's
wonderful. For a reader community, as a by the by, just in general, the star rating, Goodreads reviewers as a group tend to be a little harder on the stars than Amazon reviewers. So don't be surprised if you see one book with a, for example, 4.5 average on Amazon, and yet on Goodreads it's maybe 3.5. That's fairly standard as well. So
And it's like any other social media site or whatever. You've got to put the time in and create the relationships and it's about wanting to meet people and not just pretending that you want to meet people, you know?
Yeah.
So that Goodreads. But then once you've gathered sort of a tribe through there, then the potential is there for you to say, hey, look, is anyone willing to go and put some reviews on Amazon for me, kind of thing. Like that. Just these are ways to kind of meet people. And that's, in general, another thing that you could be doing is going, meeting people online, trying to find communities and then seeing if people will be willing to put reviews up for you. It's just really a fine line between, you don't want to pay for reviews, you don't want to be doing anything like that, but you know, giving away a free copy.
Encouraging
reviews is not a terrible thing. Yeah, or asking for them.
I think encouraging is absolutely fine. What? Okay, so here's my rant of the day, just to keep it keeping it real. My rant of the day is authors that, and nobody here, just saying, that post, there's a couple of kind of these Facebook memes or memes that say basically, readers, if you love an author, post a review, you know, we've worked hard, it's less than a cup of coffee, rah rah rah. It's kind of this passive aggressive wording on this cutesy little Facebook thing that gets shared around. Nothing pisses me off more than an author demanding a reader leave a review. Oh, okay. Well, it's my weird accent, so people probably won't have realised that I just swore. But you know what? Actually, if a reader purchases your purchases your book, they don't owe you a damn thing else. You know, they're doing you a favor by posting a review. And it takes time and it takes effort and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just, you know, sometimes I see the, oh, I can feel my voice getting high. Let me drop it down a little bit. Yeah. Sometimes I see this level of author entitlement that is like, you know what, lady, they're not doing you any favors. You know, well, you're not doing yourself any favors by by constantly kind of demanding this. So I think there's a, and I don't actually think this is about the Kiwi kind of lack of confidence in asking for things. I think there's a way to ask for things. And I've absolutely seen some really legitimate sort of requests saying, hey, look, I'm trying to get, for example, this particular advertising and I'd really appreciate some more reviews. But just don't do it every week.
I think that's so that whole thing we've gone around and over from the beginning is treat people how you want to be treated.
Yes, exactly.
You know, from the start we've sort of advocated try not to go out of your way to use Shah's word to piss people off deliberately because it is a very small...
And we are now officially in the explicit zone for the...
Beep, beep, beep. But what I'm saying to you is, we've said it before and I'll reiterate it, it's a small community. Yeah. People have long memories.
And they have a lot of choices.
Social media has a long reach. Do not annoy people.
No. Do not be that author that gets on the author's behaving badly kind of blog post of the day.
especially on your mailing list. You know, I mean, these are people that you've got on side because you've got a good product. And if you keep bombarding them with requests for reviews, then they're going to just jump off your list because it's like, it's just too hard. They'll do it if they can and if you remind them, but then you've got to leave it. Then you've got to just... You know, like the next time you get a new book out, yes, you can ask them again.
It's fine. Yeah.
But you can't keep targeting the same people over and over.
Yeah.
I think on the other side of that is a little bit of, it's okay to ask a little bit. But, you know, I think some of us tend to sort of stand back. But, you know, I think it's okay to ask
a little bit. But then there's your perception of asking a little bit and a lot. Like, like, so for example, I send out an email newsletter, I probably get maybe 50 to 60% open rate, but that means that there's still 40% of people who haven't opened the email. So I think it's okay to send it, you know, a couple of them trying to get those people with a new headline and saying something different, but again, asking for reviews. Don't feel like I've asked already, I can never ask again.
No.
And that's a really high open rate. I mean, some open rates are sort of down 30%. Well, if you've got a 30% open rate, that means there's 60%, you know, 30%. How many percent? 70. Sorry. Momentary. Oh, my God. That's why I'm not a mathematician.
Do we want to cover off a couple of reviews that we've received?
Yeah. Okay. Should we do that?
I'll start with a couple of negatives. Boring. Did not even finish. I wish I could get my money back. I should have learned by now to not buy a book that is 99 cents. So this was a promotion I did through BookBub, and out it went. And that was one of the ones. Improbable Plot sums up this book that and boring. Luckily, you don't have to waste money since you can read it for free. So that was a free. I put a book out for free. So, as I'm saying to you, if you put a book out free or at a low price, chances are someone is going to pick it up who doesn't read that genre.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. Hey, it could be puke as well. I don't know, but I'm just telling
it's
you.
It's not puke.
Clearly, it's not puke. Because that book actually made number one on historicals and regencies. But anyway, I'm not angry about it at all.
Read some of the good reviews.
I'll read you a nicer one.
Yeah.
This is another exceptional story written by an author I have dubbed as one of my favourites. It's witty and suspenseful, adventurous and humorous and solid from the beginning to end. La 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 la. What I'm trying to say is that was the same book, you know. And the other one which I really liked was I read this book to my husband and we really enjoyed it together. But at the same time, how lovely! And I pictured them sitting in a romantic swing for two and drinking wine.
I'm picturing
some kind of weird lubricant, to be honest with you.
Oh, and you had to go there. Bum, bum, ching, and she's
in the bodice.
Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of reviews for you. So It just shows you that every author gets bad reviews at some, and you know, even our most beloved authors get them in our most beloved books. So it was one of the most boring and shallow books that I have ever read. This was review was from an American classic, The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. The next one is not nearly enough consistency and very little plot, and that review was for Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince by J.K. Rowling. So if you're having a bad day and you get a real suck review, which happens, the more reviews you get and the more successful you get, you're going to get people that want to bash you down. Go out there and pick your favourite author and pick their books and have a look at their one-star review, because I guarantee you they've got them.
Yeah.
You know? So that's really what I want to say on that, you know.
Maybe that person was having a bad day.
It's not, sometimes it's not anything to do with the book.
No.
They just dislike you.
Yeah. Or the genre. They just,
or the genre.
Why did they read it? We don't know. And then because they read it, then why, if they didn't like it, why did they just not buy another book or get another book by you?
And there is, you know, you can get people disparaging your book because they do like another author, and Amazon are kind of cracked down on that, but it does happen.
Yeah.
There are some trolls out there. We don't talk much about them because we just try and ignore them.
I think on the other hand of that is that you shouldn't believe or take your self-worth from the reviews. So, for example, not necessarily taking on board all the negative ones, but maybe don't necessarily take on board all the positive ones either. Do you know? And then it sounds like... But it's like, just kind of take it with a grain of salt. It's like, the fact that people liked your book, and that's really lovely. But in the same, you know, if you believe all the positive ones, and you have to believe all the negative ones in some ways, that's kind of like just know for yourself that you've written a good book and that you enjoyed it and that there are people out there who like it. But just try not to put your self-worth
Do you know what I mean? Understand your vested interest in that book. By the time it goes out there, you've poured everything in it, and for someone to just flick it away, you know, like that, it's quite hurtful. And that, if you can't take that, then get someone else to read them.
Yeah. And I think it's actually really hard for most people to take, to be honest with you. I think it takes a very thick skin and a lot of experience to actually be able to brush that kind of thing off. Just in terms of quantity, I don't have a scientific number for this, but I've seen it kind of bandied around, but the average percentage of people who buy your book or download your book, if it's a freebie, that will actually go on to post a review is only in the single-digit percents. So it is really quite difficult. You know, you might sell 100 books, but you might only get one review out of those 100 sales kind of thing. So, you know, like a lot of things, the more you have, the easier it is to get more. And I think sometimes those first sort of handful are really quite difficult to get. And then after that, it sort of seems to increase in pace a little bit.
So once you do things like, for example, either have a perma-free or use your free days or get some kind of advertising going and start kind of more sales going, that will kind of help your reviews. And look around, just ask people. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's where to get started. And also starting the newsletter. Starting the newsletter helps with reviews. It helps with lots of other things. So it's that kind of going back to those things again and again. It's like that's the same thing that helps you get started in one area will help you get started in others. So,
and just going back to the ones that don't, it's not the end of the world if you get a 3-star or a 2-star or even a 1-star if you've got other reviews.
Oh, but it is.
Because it looks more credible, I think, for a book to, you know, if it's got 20 reviews and they're all 5 stars, I hate to say it, but my as a reader thought is, something's, you know, it just doesn't...
Something's up,
you know, and I think having the odd negative one in there is actually a good thing, to be honest. It makes everything just that little bit more credible, because nobody, you know, you don't ever get anything that everybody agrees on or likes.
Or that a book is perfect, necessarily.
Absolutely not. I mean, Wendy's just read out those, you know, 2 reviews from J.K. Rowling. And
I think the thing about reviews, we discussed this also, which can impact on reviews, is putting the best book out you can.
Yes.
Because once that review's up there, it's always up there. And so I've made the mistake in my past of putting a book up that wasn't edited as well as it should be, and I've got some reviews that luckily I'm now... people have liked the story enough that I've got some over the top of that. But my point here is the best book you can you know, it will stop those really nasty critical reviews about editing and stuff like that. And that's what you want to try to do, because that will put someone off.
And they might have done you a favour, because they might have pointed out something that everybody else has missed, and you can go and change it. That's the beauty of self-publishing.
The other thing that does... Oh, sorry, Cher. Sorry, I let you carry on.
No, I was just going to say, and then you can go on from there, and like Wendy said, what she did with this book that had a lot of errors in, she redid it and put it back up, and now it's going great guns. Yep.
The other thing that can be upsetting, and I totally get why, if you've worked really hard to get 5 or 6 reviews on your first book or a book, whatever, is that sometimes they do disappear and Amazon will take them down. And that can be various reasons. Either they think that there's a connection to the between the reviewer and the author, and it doesn't have to be a legitimate connection, it could be just a suspected connection. Or that the reviewer is indeed, as an author, you're not meant to review authors in your same, you know, you're not meant to review your competitors. And so...
Really?
Yes, no.
I did not know
against
that.
The terms of service. So, and again, I can understand why. You can imagine if you're Toyota, what's your review of Mazda going to be like? You know, I get it. I really do get it.
Who drives Mazda anyway? But,
we do! Thank you very much.
Let's not go down that track, shall we?
I know, I get a bite out of a little girl.
Whatever.
My point, and I do have one, is that sometimes they do disappear and there's not a dang thing you can do about it. You can ask Amazon, and depending on the mood of the customer services rep who will talk to you, but you won't, inevitably you'll get a kind of a cut and paste reply. So just don't despair. It happens. It just happens.
Yep. Awesome.
Excellent. And on that note, I think it's time for us to say fare thee well.
Hello.
Little munchkins.
I'm glad that we kept it completely professional today. So that's awesome. Come and see us at spargirlspodcast.com. Tweet us at spargirlspodcast. And say hi on Facebook. We love having your comments on Facebook, especially because it makes us, here's us saying, you know, don't put all the stock in your reviews, but we feel very legitimized by seeing comments on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so we're at Spar Girls Podcast as well.
Yeah. Are we going to do a shout out? Or we know? Who are we going to? No? Okay.
You know, I'd like to shout out to Louise George because she's a great.
She gives us feedback.
Louisa George is a
lovely lady.
Wonderful writer. And has superb taste in podcasts, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's all we can say about that, quite frankly. Superb taste in podcasts.
Shall we channel our Von Trapp and sing the
match
or
not?
No. Okay. All right.
See, he just likes to sing. See you all. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.